Welcome to the DB Media Podcast. I'm Brian, that's Dylan, and we have a few movies to be talking about. We have Van Helsing, we have iRobot, Sex Drive, and American Beauty. We didn't have no episode last week due to complications in my work schedule, but as always, to start off, we have movie news. So, I don't know if it's a new trailer for the new Michael B. Jordan movie, Sinners. It's one of my more anticipated movies this year. Michael B. Jordan plays two roles, and it's like during the Prohibition times. They're having like a barn party or whatever, and these three people show up, and they're vampires. So, pretty cool premise. I'm pretty excited for it. I love anything with Michael B. Jordan, so I'm excited to see how that goes. The trailer looks really good.
Huh? Anything with Michael B. Jordan?
Yeah.
Do you like the 2015 Fantastic Four?
I knew you were going to say that. Here's the thing. It's not my favorite. It's not bad.
Not good.
It's not bad.
I remember reading a story about that movie when in 2015 when it came out, that the cast tried to walk out on the floor of Comic-Con to see how many fans would freak out. Not a single person recognized them.
That movie definitely has its problems. Michael Jordan is the best part of that movie.
Okay.
We'll rank, when the Fantastic Four comes out later this year, we'll watch all four of them. And
best one's probably the first one made in 2000.
I don't know, I like Silver Surfer pretty well.
Yeah, that one's pretty good.
Hmm?
That one's pretty good.
The only problem I have with it is Galactus. They made him a giant cloud.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Like, he was like,
it's been a minute since I watched that one.
Yeah, Galactus comes in at the end. He's a giant cloud that's going to eat the world. But we'll talk about that in a minute, because we are going to talk about Fantastic Four. The new trailer for the new movie, Locked, with Bill Skarsgård and Anthony Hopkins. Bill Skarsgård is trying to steal his car, getting locked in the car, and Anthony Hopkins is the one in control of the car. Pretty cool premise.
Yeah.
And I love Bill Skarsgård, so.
I love Anthony Hopkins.
Same. I'll watch anything with him in it as well. But the cool thing, I didn't know that until I watched the rest of the trailer today, was this is made by Sam Raimi.
Hmm.
You know I love Sam Raimi. So, down for that. And some more news here. July is going to be a very busy month for us. We're going to have Fantastic Four, Superman, and Jurassic World Rebirth come out.
Oh, those are the three competitors that month.
Yeah. Superman's definitely taking the box office that month.
Yeah.
Without even... I don't need to be close.
I don't think... I wouldn't be surprised if Fantastic Four beats it.
I'd be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised, but as of right now, I doubt it.
Right. There's not a lot of hype behind the Fantastic Four. Right
yeah. Jurassic World's definitely losing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, it's not even close with that. I would be surprised if Fantastic Four beats it. I would not be surprised if it was, like, hanging in there neck and neck. That wouldn't surprise me.
I don't know. We'll see when we get more in-depth trailers, because we could get more. Like, this is the first Fantastic Four trailer we've got.
And the first Superman trailer.
Yeah.
So we get, yeah.
But we've been hearing more about Superman than we have anything else here recently.
That's true. So we'll leave Fantastic Four for last, because I do really want to dive into that. What do you think about the Jurassic World? You didn't watch the trailer, did you?
It was okay.
Did you like it? I heard someone say it takes place between Jurassic Park 1 and 2. I don't know how true that is. I was watching somebody on TikTok talk about that.
Why?
I don't know. That may not be like 100%. That's just what I've heard. It don't look like it. But thinking it kind of does. It's about them going onto the island to steal or to take the DNA of the three biggest dinosaurs for genetic research. And Scarlett Johansson is like the main character in this one. So, we're going to have to, before this one comes out in July, we'll have to watch all six of the originals and talk about them. The last one, the Jurassic World Dominion, is that what it was?
I think so.
Was trash. absolutely god awful. Hated that movie. There was more people drama than there was dinosaurs.
I never watched it.
So what'd you think about the new Final Destination Bloodlines trailer?
I don't know. I've only seen like a couple of the Final Destination movies. It seemed like it'll be pretty good. Like this one will be pretty good.
All I have to say is we're freaking cooking with that trailer. Like, because I love Final Destination. I had the box set of the first four when I was really young. The first one is a classic. The second one is what makes people terrified to drive behind log trucks.
Yeah.
The third one made me personally was the scariest one to me, because the third one made me terrified to ride roller coasters my entire childhood. I would not get on any big roller coasters that done any loops or anything, specifically because of Final Destination 3.
Yeah, that movie. Those movies are famous for giving people problems.
Right. And the only one that was kind of goofy was Part 4. They were at a NASCAR track. But just the kills in general were so goofy and stupid and way too over the top. It's like, that definitely can't happen. Like, that's definitely not going to happen to nobody. Like, well, again, we'll review those two when Bloodlines comes out. But I do really want to talk about, what do you think about the Fantastic Four trailer?
I really liked it. I don't think Galactus is really going to be that big of a part of the movie.
I don't either. I think the big villain is going to be Red Ghost is his name. I think it's his name.
Michael Malkovich.
Yes. In the comic books, I think his villain name was Red Ghost.
His villain name is Michael Malkovich.
Shut up. He is a Russian who was competing against the Fantastic Four team to get to space. So I have a theory about this movie. In the trailer, you can see Reed Richards, Pedro Pascal, writing on a board and trying to figure out stuff. I don't think this is... Obviously, it's not their universe. Obviously, it takes place in a different universe. It's a futuristic 1960s. My theory is that in our timeline, in the 60s, the Fantastic Four went into space, went to another universe, and they've been stuck in this universe, and they're trying to get home. That's what the movie's going to be about.
Could be.
I think that at the end of this movie, Galactus is going to eat this universe like he does and destroy it, and then they're going to find out their way home. And when they get home, it'll advance 50 years, and they will be right in the mix of Doctor Doom, Avengers Doomsday. I also think there is pictures of a surprise actor or like a surprise role. They kept him covered up and kept him very secretive during all the leaks of some big famous actor on the set. And I think it's Robert Downey Jr. as Doctor Doom, because that would make sense. Because he's a Fantastic Four villain.
Yeah.
And I think he'll follow them home to kick off Avengers Doomsday. That's my theory. I think I might be right about this. I don't know. What'd you think about the design of the Thing?
I think it's probably the closest comic accurate thing we've gotten, especially with that big brow.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's very comic accurate. I think it's very stupid looking. Because way too heavy on the CGI. Don't get me wrong, it's just a trailer. Like, I've seen the leaks of them using practical effects. They've used a practical costume on him. But for the trailer, it looks like they just done CGI.
Yeah, I don't like to comment on CGI until
the final movie.
Yeah, until I watch the movie.
I agree, because they're not going to bust out a lot of the CGI just for a minute-long trailer.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be the best for the minute-long trailer. But I hope it doesn't look like it did in the trailer.
I mean,
I hope we get more practical effects, because the Thing in the first Fantastic Four movies, like, that was a practical suit, and it was really good looking. That's one of my favorite designs.
Yeah.
Also, a lot of people and I was complaining about the Silver Surfer being a female. She's not playing, what's his name, NORAD or something. That's the
Original Silver Surfer.
Yeah, she's not playing him.
No.
She's playing his love interest in the comic books. I can't remember her name off the top of my head, but there is an iteration in a multiverse where she becomes the Silver Surfer.
Okay.
So that kind of furthers my theory of them being in a different universe. Make sense?
I mean, we know for sure that this is not the main...
It was 100%.
Yeah.
It's a futuristic 1960s, and they are celebrities.
Yeah.
So... what do you think about the casting for all four of them?
I don't know. Pedro Pascal's too cool.
For Reed Richards?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Reed Richards is like supposed to be, seems like hot, like kind of autistic like.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Sort of like Sheldon from Big Bang Theory.
Exactly. That was exactly what I was going to compare him to. Great minds. Jesus. I think they fumbled every one of the castings except for Vanessa Kirby. She's the only casting I think that they actually done well.
Well, I'm not going to say the Human Torch is bad.
I don't really like him as the Human Torch.
Well, you haven't really seen him yet.
I know, but as an actor, like, I've seen him in Stranger Things and Gladiator. I don't think he would have been the Human Torch. He wouldn't have been my pick for the Human Torch anyway. I could be wrong. I hope we go there and watch it and he's like, he is the Human Torch. But it's hard to match the charisma of Chris Evans.
He probably got it due to an audition.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but I don't know. I think the Fang casting is weird, too. I think they nailed Mr. Fantastic Reed Richards with John Krasinski in Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah, he's a bit nerdy.
Yeah, I think they nailed it with him. I think they fumbled it with Pedro Pascal. But Pedro Pascal was 100% a financial decision. He's already in the Disney pipeline from Mandalorian. Yeah. And he kind of looks like Reed Richards. So he's like, oh, let's just lean in this direction. Everybody kind of is on the Pedro Pascal bandwagon right now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
For the longest time watching The Mandalorian, I thought he was Timothy Olyphant.
I did too. I was hoping, because he sounds like Timothy Olyphant. And I was hoping it was Timothy.
Well, he does under the mask.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He sounds just like
him. I think that's why they put him in season two.
Was he in season two or was he in...
Timothy Olyphant was in season two.
I thought he was in season one. I could be... It's been a minute since I've watched those. But yeah, Timothy Olyphant eventually comes in. You're like, oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
He's in it at least. But yeah, do you have anything you want to say about Fantastic Four? I'm pretty hyped for it.
Something I do want to talk about. Snyder fans are dragging this Superman movie through the mud every chance they get.
I know.
Like with the talking about him going cross-eyed.
The flying video?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not really that bad.
It's not. It's because it's from that angle.
Yeah, it's literally just the angle. And then somebody drew a diagram. Okay, so you know how when he's flying and he flies through this like ice, like this thin like gap of ice.
Yeah.
Right? Somebody, like, this is like the level of hating they are doing on this Superman movie. Somebody drew a diagram of that and said, why wouldn't you just fly around? It's so like, you're Superman flying around. Yeah. You're having fun.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Look, you know, for our DC episode, I picked apart the Superman movie coming up. And I am a Snyder fan, but I'm not that freaking picky.
Like, they're taking every little thing they can to drag this movie through the mud.
You need to be a fan of the properties and not of the person. Like, don't be like, oh, I'm ride or die Zack Snyder. Be like, I just want this Superman movie to succeed. Like, quit crapping on it 6 months before it comes out.
Yeah. No, I think the Superman movie is going to be really good.
I'm still iffy on David Cornsweet. I don't know how I feel about him.
I feel like he's going to be a good Superman. I don't know how I feel about, like, him being Clark Kent. He seems a little creepy. as Clark Kent.
I thought the opposite. I thought he made a good Clark Kent, but he didn't make a good Superman. Again, we haven't seen a lot of it, so it's hard to judge it right now.
He was just talking like Buffalo Bill when he was being Clark Kent. Like,
he really was.
He just sounded like Buffalo Bill while he's Clark Kent. And I don't know why they gave him like the friggin' Gen Z fluffy top hair.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't know, I guess it's more modern times.
Maybe. I'm really excited. What do you think about them talking about Robert Pattinson may be the DCU's Batman? I think we may have talked about this before. I don't know.
If that is the case.
Because currently the Batman's been delayed till 2027 due to rewrites.
Yeah, I heard a fan theory saying that, or not a really, I wouldn't call it a fan theory, but somebody saying that it's a possibility that they could be delaying it because they're just going to go ahead and use him for their Batman.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know.
I feel like if they do like a time skip between like the movie we watched versus when he meets Superman, because I don't think a year or two Batman should be meeting Superman. You know what I mean? Like, you got to be doing this for a minute before you go, you know, to Superman and start the Justice League.
Yeah.
You can't just be, oh, I'm just now starting to fight crime. Let's join the Justice League. You know what I mean?
I don't know. Because the way, before the first Batman, came out, Robert Pattinson was just like, if people don't leave me alone, I can just ruin this movie. I can just mess it all up. And I don't like that Robert Pattinson has that much power.
Right? I agree.
Like,
I don't trust Robert Pattinson that much.
Yeah, I don't really trust him to like stay in this.
That's funny.
I think that was also one of the Snyderverse problems.
What's that?
Because there's constant talks of people leaving and coming back.
Yeah, because it was really hard for them to find their footing.
Yeah.
And then I had read somewhere that Ben Affleck had his own personal issues why he had to step away due to like some kind of family thing.
Yeah.
And then he came back, tried to do a solo Batman movie, not yada, yada, yada. So is it safe to say that Superman's probably your most anticipated movie this year?
Yeah, so far.
Interesting. Mine would probably have to be Bloodlines. I'm sorry. Final Destination holds a special place in my heart, and I really, this is going to be a good movie. The trailer they showed for it was a kill, but no, like, long, drawn-out trailer telling you the story. It was a kill. Now, I don't think you're going to like it, because what I have heard about it is it's telling two different stories, flashing back and forth between times. It's telling, because the premise of Bloodlines is she's a grandma now. A person from the 60s witnesses an event, obviously saves her own life, and it spawns multiple generations that should never existed. So it's death killing off those generations. And it's going to go back and forth between the.
Well, as long as there's a clear line of time,
yeah,
it should be okay. I just don't like it, like constantly going back and forth, like within days or weeks, and not really explaining to you that it's went back.
I agree. I agree with that. What I would personally like for them to do, instead of just flashing back and forth every once in a while, I'd like for like the first half of the movie to just be like the, or even the first 30 minutes, to be, you know, the grandma's story.
Yeah.
Then the rest of the movie, flash it forward 50 years, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But anything you want to say about any of these movies we were talking about?
No.
All right, so the first one we got up here, Sex Drive.
Okay.
So, give me your rating for Sex Drive.
3.5.
3.5 for me as well. I almost gave it a 4. 4 after recency bias, but I mean, 4 recency bias, but after my recency bias, I dropped to 3.5. So, what do you think about this movie? Give me your thoughts.
This movie is just funny. It's very, very dirty.
Oh, yeah. It's American Pie, straight up.
Yeah.
So, for you at home who don't know, it's about a high schooler. Is he a high schooler?
I don't think it ever says.
High schooler, college, something like that, around that age. He meets this woman online. He's been lying to her that he's like a football player. He's got a nice car. And she's like, well, if you come meet with me, I will have sex with you. He's a virgin, trying to lose his virginity. So him and his friends hit the road and try to get to her and have sex with her. So, and all the adventures along the way.
So yeah, he's he works as a donut. Sometimes he has to dress up as a donut at this donut shop in the mall.
Yeah.
And, like, the first thing he does is, like, he's trying to give out coupons to people, and some dude just comes up and puts a big old dildo on
right on the front of his costume. And he comes up to that little girl and is like, I have something for you. And yeah. That's like, get away from my daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hilarious. It has a very, very clear American Pie inspiration. Like, yeah. It's inspired by American Pie. But I'm going to be honest, I enjoyed this a lot more than I did American Pie. The jokes land on this.
Yeah. Amish Seth Green is absolutely hilarious.
Yeah. what I miss the most is sarcasm. The whole movie, everything he says is sarcastic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. I love fixing people's shit for free.
It's so funny. I can't remember. I was trying to read his name, but my printer didn't print properly. Clark Duke, the guy from Kick-Ass, like the best friend. I love him. I don't know why he didn't blow up bigger. Like, I know he was decently big. Like, he had hits like Kick-Ass, Hot Tub Time Machine, stuff like that. I don't know why he didn't get bigger.
I don't know.
Like, he had some solid comedy chops.
I don't know.
He looks way different now.
Yeah, he does look way different.
The older brother is one of the best parts of this movie.
James Marsden?
Yeah. He is one of the best parts of this entire movie. He is so funny. Like, one of the scene where he comes up to him and he's like, I heard you wanted to borrow my car. Just ask me. You're my brother. And
yeah.
He asks him, he like punches him in the stomach. Yeah. Like that.
Yeah, no, never going to happen.
He takes it anyway. The part where... Okay, so his cool friend, played by Clark Duke, he meets this woman at a gas station.
Yeah.
you can tell us if you want.
Yeah, she chains him up to a bed. Like, just they meet at a gas station. They walk in, and she's just crying. He just starts consoling her. And he goes, guys, she's sad. We need to be nice and comfort her. And then while she's crying on his chest, he's like... So they drive to her house, and it's just her two really old parents sitting there.
The whole time he's talking, his nutsacks hanging out of his shorts. He's like,
you guys want some purple? And they're in the back having sex, and he's chained up. And she's just asking him if he wants like these weird names of like different, just like weird names of sex.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, yeah, we'll try that. And then finally she gets to, you ever heard of a rolling brownout?
As soon as she said that, I knew exactly what she was doing.
Okay, what's the brown? Oh, God, no, no.
She gets out of a squat.
No brown, no brown.
That's one of the best parts. And the whole time, like, her husband or boyfriend comes home, is like beating on the door.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Runs him running naked through the cornfield, chained to the bed.
The head of the bed, like the bedpost, he's like running through this cornfield, butt naked. Oh my gosh. Solid comedy, dude.
Yeah.
The main characters, I will say this. Don't think they had the best chemistry. Like, I'm talking about his love interest in him.
Yeah.
Like, that felt very, very forced.
It kind of was, because at the beginning of the movie, it's trying to kind of portray that she liked his best friend.
Yeah. The best friend and him had really good chemistry.
Yeah.
But her and him just was like,
oh my gosh. I felt like one of the most awkward moments of this movie was when that girl convinced him to get up on stage, and he didn't know what he was getting up on stage for.
Oh my gosh.
And yes. he could see the girls in the back undressing, and he completely zoned out and stopped paying attention to what was going on upstage. Pops a
boner on stage.
Yeah, he just pops a boner. And when finally somebody gets his attention, it's like, do you think this is sexual? Does this arouse you? Just like getting on to him. He's like, what? And then he's like, it turns out it's some girl telling us her story about being raped.
It's like a celibacy circle or whatever from like some religious group.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has a boner the whole time. They're promising not to have sex.
Yeah.
That is freaking hilarious.
Yeah, and then he gets off stage, cusses that girl out, and she's like, I would have blew you.
He's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
At the glory hole scene, where he goes into the gas station. Yeah. Like, I just...
Hello?
Yeah, the glory hole scene is one of my favorite scenes. He's just like, hello?
Yeah.
The ending to this movie... It just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So at the end of the movie, he makes it to the girl he's going to have sex with, and like while they're on the hood of this car, he just confesses that he likes the other girl and doesn't want to do anything with her. But turns out she wasn't trying to sleep with him anyway. She brought him there to rob him.
Yeah.
Like they were going to take his car to a chop shop. Like, oh my gosh! Yeah. And the brother shows up to get his car back. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
He tells his brother, I probably wouldn't have worked anyway. I was having thoughts. I
tried to tell his brother that he thinks he's gay. Yeah. And his brother's like, go sleep with her.
You go do what God intended.
That's
what, something that really pissed me off about this movie was when the brother's car got hit and he sees it from the window and he starts walking outside and he's like looking at his car and he turns around to hit the guy and he just gets smacked back down.
Yeah, I thought for sure the brother was about to be the hero.
Yeah. No, it made me mad. I was like, are you kidding me? He's just, the brother's just a bully.
Yeah. He's not even a tough bully.
Yeah.
It had very, very, like, 2000s humor, which is, I know it's a 2000s movie. And you can tell. I loved the 2000s humor, though. Like, it's really funny.
Yeah. he works the mouth of the freaking donut costume he's in when he's trying to save the day.
Oh yeah, and they're like, why are you still working the mouth?
Shut up! I'm running the show here.
You remember the line where he's like, "I think my kids are going to be retarded."
Yeah.
Best lines of the, I think my kids are going to be retarded.
Yeah, the guy that was dating the girl giving out rolling brownouts tracked them all the way down to where they is heading to, and he's like, all right, you can punch my friend, but just once. And he punches him. He's like, oh god, my kids are gonna be retarded.
That was one of the best lines of the whole movie. The scene where they're like shooting each other in the leg, like you know what I'm talking about, at the end, it's kind of like that Key and Peele skit.
Oh yeah,
yeah, it's a lot like that Key and Peele skit. You know where he's like, I can catch the bullet, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, it's just like that Key and Peele skit. I just really like this movie. I think I liked it better than American Pie. I loved when the cop showed up at the end and he's in the donut and he's like, the big Mexican won't go down. He's like, the big Mexican won't go down.
It was funny to me when the brother when it Turns out the reason my brother was a dick all these years was because he was keeping a secret. Turns out he was gay.
Oh my gosh. That, after giving his brother crap for being gay.
And then by Thanksgiving, Dad had come around to it. Oh, look, it's a juicer from Dad.
Yeah, like his dad wouldn't accept it, but then by like the holidays, he was like, all right, my son's gay.
And then he finally loses his virginity, and his brother still ruins it by throwing firecrackers.
Yeah, like he finally has sex, and then he throws firecrackers under the couch. Yeah, that's hilarious. A solid pick, dude. That was a really good movie. I never heard of that movie.
Yeah.
I really liked that one. Anything else you want to say about it?
No, I'm good.
So we're moving on to iRobot. This is a straight nostalgia ride for me. What'd you give it?
It's all 3.
Get a 4.5. Now, I'm no dummy, a full point, it would have been 3.5, but it's 4.5 strictly for nostalgia. I watched this movie way too much as a kid.
Yeah, I'm not so sure this could happen now.
What? Have you not seen the AI robots that they're putting out?
Yeah, but no, but like, in that movie, everybody completely relies and trusts the technology because of
the... Do you not know how dumb society is today?
Yeah, but I don't see any... Like, in that movie, Will Smith is the only person that doesn't trust technology.
It's also because they're in San Francisco. Is it San Francisco?
Huh?
Is it San Francisco? Or is it...
I don't know.
I think it's where they're at, San Francisco.
But I don't see it happening. I don't see that many people trusting AI the way they do in that movie.
Maybe not, but
I don't think we could let AI get...
It's definitely more likely to happen in bigger cities like that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know how dumb society is today.
Yeah, but they seemed a lot dumber in that movie.
That is true. What did you think about this movie overall?
It was all right.
It's all right. I liked it. The Stevie Wonder playing at the beginning, the superstitious, that, I don't know, it's iconic to me in my childhood because that's how the movie starts. And I just remember being little, turning this movie on and being like, very superstitious. Like,
something I don't understand is why can the robot see in the future?
What do you mean?
He says, this is the dream I had. And he draws out a perfect sketch. And he's like, and it's him.
Yeah.
At the friggin' place.
I don't know why you see in the future. I mean, maybe it was just something he saw that he made happen. I love how through the whole movie he's calling them like, almost like a racial slur, but he's calling them like slurs against them. Like, he's calling them canners.
Oh, yeah.
That's so funny to me. Because he's like, every time he talks to him, he's like, shut up, canner. Like, it's really good. Young Shia LaBeouf in this movie. Hilarious. Stop cussing because you're not good at it.
Yeah.
One of my favorite scenes. He's like, quit cussing and go home. I got you. Again, the purse chase at the beginning was great. It does a good job of setting the tone right at the start that he doesn't like robots. Like, it doesn't ease you into it. It shows you, like, right off the bat, like, even in his house, the most sophisticated piece of technology he has is a stereo that he controls the remote. He does not do all this technology. And, I don't know, I just think that was... It does a good job of setting up that character at the beginning.
Yeah, weird that he doesn't trust technology, but he trusts his arm.
Right. Like, he doesn't trust his arm to have its own, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Will Smith brings a very good comedic aspect to this character, as he does most of his characters. The interrogation scene's one of my favorite scenes in this movie, where he's like, can a robot write a symphony? Can it... It asks him a bunch of different questions, like, and he just looks at him and says, well, can you do that?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, got me there. Like, but that would be such an AI response. It had a good story.
AI can do that.
It had a very good story. It had I didn't care that much about the love interest. Like, I think she was...
I don't think anybody really cared that about the love interest.
I know, but she was just kind of meh.
Was she even really a love interest? Did they even kiss at all?
No.
Or was she just there?
I think she was just there. But you know they were kind of become like a love interest thing.
I guess they could do that. But I didn't really see a love interest there. I thought she was just a lady.
Yeah. I kind of wish the robot that had like his own thoughts, like the Sonny. Yeah. I wish he was a bigger character. He was in like a little bit at the beginning, a little bit at the end. But like big chunk in the middle, he just wasn't in. Like I think it'd have been more interesting if he had like had Sonny going around with him trying to solve this. I mean, I know he don't like robots, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. But if you're gonna pay to have Will Smith in your movie, you're gonna put Will Smith in your movie.
Exactly. I like at the end you kind of see how he's in a similar situation as when he gets in the car accident. Like he has to make it. He tells the robot, he's like, save her. And he's like, I can't. I got to inject these nanites. And he says, he's telling her to save her. And it kind of, when the robot listens to him and saves her instead of injecting the nanites, it kind of mirrors the situation he was in years before. And it kind of restores his faith in him a little bit, if you see that. And it kind of shows that he is not a normal robot. He has his own, you know, conscious. I really like this movie. Again, straight nostalgia ride. I watched this way too much as a kid.
I didn't forget what I was going to say.
There's anything else about it?
No, I'm good.
But solid movie. I think I really like this movie. I really like that movie. This is one I'm really excited to be talking about.
Oh, before we get to that movie, did you hear that they're making a I Am Legend 2?
I did hear that. They're going with the
alternate ending.
Yeah, where he survives. Michael B. Jordan's supposed to be in it. I'm for it.
Seems like it'll be good.
Yeah.
I always preferred the alternate ending anyway.
Maybe. I don't know. I kind of like the theatrical version. Where he self-sacrifices himself.
Yeah, but then how does Will Smith live?
I mean, he doesn't, but I mean, they could have just made the sequel about Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, but then how would it have Will Smith in it?
It wouldn't. That's the point.
Listen, just because he is controlled by a bald woman does not mean he doesn't make bangers.
No, I like Will Smith. He's one of my favorite actors, like, ever. We will talk about Iron Blaze. We will definitely do that movie. That's one of my favorite movies. I absolutely love that. Okay. Tell me what you thought about Van Helsing.
He's okay.
I spilled my drink on that. Did you say okay?
Yeah.
It's a fantastic monster movie. I knocked...
It was made during a time when CGI was just coming off the ground, and all the movies is trying to transition. CGI
was not that bad in this movie.
No, it was a big budget movie. That's why it wasn't that bad. But compared to lower CGI in today, it's about the same level.
Yeah.
I feel like if they wanted this movie to be good, they should have just stuck to practical effects.
Fair. I replaced Six Underground in my top 10 for this. I gave it a perfect 5 out of 5. I love this movie. Like, every aspect about it I love.
That has to be nostalgia, too.
I'd say 1 point of it's nostalgia. I'd still get a 4 out of 5 without the nostalgia points. I mean, I don't know if I can find anything I don't like about this movie.
Have you noticed that in this movie, Hugh Jackman keeps switching accents between English.
Yes, I did notice that.
Between English and American.
I did notice that. Give me something you didn't like about this movie. See if it changes my opinion. I'm just curious what you didn't like.
I just felt like the dialogue was cheesy.
Okay. All right. I think if it, the time period it was set in. So yeah,
it just seemed like a very cheesy movie.
Do you know the lore behind this? I went down a giant rabbit hole. This is one of the reasons I recommended this. I went down a rabbit hole where somebody said there's more lore behind it with the video game. So I was looking up the video game story. Van Helsing is the fallen angel Gabriel.
Yeah, he's the Angel Gabriel. I looked that up.
Yeah, that because of the whole movie, he's calling him Gabriel. Van Helsing killed Dracula at some point, like way back when. He had come out of heaven and was helping the humans in all these battles. Once he killed so many, God would not let him back into heaven. And as a penance, he erased his memory and sent him to the steps of the Vatican. And they have him working as like a monster hunter.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. I don't know why they did. Well, I know why. Also, there were two sequels planned for this movie. Due to box office numbers, it was considered a flop.
Yeah.
So, two sequels were scratched. The sequels were going to dive into that lore, and he was supposed to go after many more mythical monsters. So, the opening scene, what do you think about that? The Jekyll and Hyde. That was pretty dope.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I will say, I will give you that, the Jekyll and Hyde at the beginning, that CGI was...
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Meh. Yeah, it was... It wasn't... I wouldn't say it was bad, but it was not up to standard today. Yeah. It was the worst CGI in the movie. Hugh Jackman was perfect for Van Helsing. I don't think there was anyone who could have pulled it off the way he did. The transition from like black and white to color to show you like the past versus the present, that was pretty dope. I really liked that because I don't really like black and white movies. I kind of do. The fact that we got that a little bit to like kind of mirror that Frankenstein, Dracula, the Wolfman was all originally black and white, and we got to see that at the beginning to kind of mirror that. That was pretty dope. I really appreciate that. It's kind of paying homage to their predecessors, you know what I mean?
I will say that I did like the werewolf designs on this movie.
That's how you design a werewolf.
Yeah. I just wish that they had been more practical.
I can agree with that, yeah. Because there wasn't really any practicality to the werewolves. We've reviewed werewolf movies. We think we both really like werewolf movies. In my opinion, the Van Helsing werewolf is the golden standard for the werewolf design. Don't get me wrong, the CGI may be not as good, but that is how I want my werewolves to look, maybe with better graphics and better CGI or better practicality.
I don't know. I kind of like the underworld werewolves.
The what?
Underworld.
I think they kind of go hand in hand. Like they, I think the only thing wrong with the underworld werewolves is where they are practical, their heads are maybe a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
That's, and that kind of looks a little goofy to me. Like this one, the head size was kind of perfect.
Yeah.
Underworld's, I just recently watched all the underworld movies, and that's pretty much a ghost.
Oh, don't get me started how they...
They butchered that series?
Yeah.
Oh, brother. The first three would have capped off a great trilogy. But then they give us like, what, three, four more? Oh my gosh. It was hard to watch. I watched them just so I could rate them. I rated all those on Letterboxd. But we had to review those because, man, those we can hate watch those together. Because those were bad.
Because I like the prequel and I like the first two.
The prequel was the best.
Yeah.
Hands down. Like, they were cooking with that one.
Yeah. And then, let's stay on the movies we're talking about, and then we can talk about this after we get done with our movies.
No, we can go off and do a branch conversation. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I like how they paid homage to their predecessors with the black and white. That was, I love that. Yeah. I think the actor who played Dracula, he had no business looking that tough. He was a little goofy, but he looked like the Dracula. When I think of Dracula, I don't think of Bram Stoker's. I don't think of what's the other one we watched? Dracula 2000. I don't think of that in any way, shape, or form. When someone says Dracula, I think of Van Helsing's Dracula.
Okay.
Even the final design at the end where he goes like full bat form, that it kind of teases through the whole movie, shows you in shadows, shows you off in the distance him flying around. Again, give me more of that. You know what I mean? That was just great. I'm sorry, I'm taking up all the time. What do you want to say about this movie?
Oh. Yeah, I didn't really care for him as Dracula.
Really? Why not?
I don't know. I just didn't, like, he wasn't really anything special to me.
Really?
This whole movie just I don't know. The dialogue was with him, especially.
Was very cheesy.
Very cheesy and cringy.
I think it fit his aesthetic, though.
I don't know. Dracula, I don't feel like Dracula's supposed to be cringy.
I don't know. I think Dracula can say whatever the hell he wants because he's Dracula.
I mean, that's a fair point, but that doesn't mean I have to watch it.
That's fair. Do you know that there were supposed to be more monsters in this movie? They're supposed to have the creature from the Black Lagoon in this, I believe. And he was supposed to be like working the tower with Igor. But due to budget restraints, they couldn't have him.
I don't like how they made Igor a traitor like that.
Yeah, I know. Me neither. Like,
that is. Most of the things I've seen about Igor, he's like very loyal to Dr. Frankenstein.
Right. And I didn't like how they killed Frankenstein off of her right in the beginning. Like, I get it. And it propelled the story and it propelled the character development of Frankenstein's monster. But I just didn't like it. I would have liked to have seen him, like, in the underground caverns where he was hiding, like, the monster taking care of him. That would have been cool.
Yeah.
I love how people sometimes call the monster Frankenstein when it's Frankenstein's monster. Because the monster isn't called Frankenstein.
Well, the book's called Frankenstein.
Yeah, but referring to Dr. Frankenstein. The monster's called the monster or...
Well, I'm pretty sure in the original Frankenstein book, it's just about the monster hunting down Dr. Frankenstein to kill him.
Is it?
Yeah. Because, like, he hates that he was created.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd like to read that book. You said that the CGI was not, like, up to par with it today. Now, the CGI is a little dated. But I still think it can hold it still hold a lot to today.
I won't say that it ruins the story or anything.
There's CGI that has come out recently that I would say would have been worse than this CGI.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But I'm saying this was a big budget movie and they should have just stuck with practical effects.
I agree. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to say it publicly now. I hate all CGI. CGI is... I don't care what it is. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Give me practical effects. Now, with that being said, I understand CGI is sometimes needed. But if it can be done practically, do it practically. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think the soundtrack to this is awesome. The music they have is like him going, like, traveling from place to place. It really sets the tone. Like, it makes you feel like you're in Transylvania. His weapons were so advanced for the time. His automatic crossbow.
Yeah, I kind of wish that they had just, like, let him have more modern weapons. It would have made him seem more badass.
Yeah, but it didn't take place in modern time.
I meant not modern times, but the weapons of his time.
Yeah, I agree. Like, if he had
like modern to him.
Right. Well, okay, yeah. I get that. Like,
it would have made him more badass. This kind of just made him seem like medieval Batman.
It did. It really did. If you noticed, have you heard...
Because that little chainsaw fan thing that he's got is something that Batman would pull out.
It really is. That was a cool weapon, though. You got to admit. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm not even sure it'd work. So.
Probably not. Solid movie, though. I really, really love Van Helsing. I wish it would have got the two sequels it needed. But anything else you want to say about it?
Well, it's not too late for it to get its sequels.
It's not. I would love to see a sequel today, but it has a fan base now.
Yeah, there's a lot of movies like that.
That don't find their footing until years later when they come to streaming or DVD.
Yeah, like Independence Day.
I never seen Independence Day.
It was one of those movies that didn't really do too well in the movie theaters, and then over the years people just watched it at home and loved it.
You know, two classic movies that I've never seen that I always get crap for because I never watch them? Independence Day, Smoking the Bandit.
Never watched Smoking the Bandit?
Never seen Smoking the Bandit. Oh, I've seen the ending.
Remind me to kill you after this.
I mean, I know I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I've never seen the full movie, no.
Okay.
But anything else you want to say about it?
No, I'm good.
Okay, American Beauty.
Yeah.
What you got for it?
As rating, I'm going to give it a 3.5.
I gave it a 4.5. I really enjoyed this movie. It was one of... So, I'll let you go ahead and start, actually. I've been talking too much.
So, Kevin Spacey basically has a midlife crisis after getting a crush on his daughter's best friend.
Yes.
In high school.
So, I compared this movie earlier to Falling Down.
Yeah.
If you've never seen Falling Down, I believe that's what it's called. I could be wrong about the title, but I'm almost positive Falling Down. What's the actor's name, my son?
Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas. So, it's about Michael Douglas, who basically just has one bad day, and it's enough to push him over the edge, and he starts killing people. Basically, that's what this is, but he doesn't kill nobody. He is in a mediocre life. His wife basically just bullies him and abuses him, like, verbally. His daughter hates him. He is a loser through his life. And then he goes to one of his daughter's cheer recitals or something, or cheers during a ball game, and sees her friend and completely falls in love with her friend.
Yeah.
Like, and since he done that, he reevaluates his life and realizes that he is such a loser that he has to make a change. So he starts talking back to his wife, starts standing up for himself. His boss fires him and he blackmails his boss. Like, he just becomes, you know what? I don't care. Like,
yeah. Something I want to talk about, the boyfriend, his daughter's boyfriend.
Yeah.
He is really only creepy around her and her friend.
The boyfriend was creepy around?
Yeah, he was creepy around his daughter and his daughter's friend. But everybody else, he just seemed like a normal guy.
Yes, I agree. Like, I don't know if it's just because he don't know how to talk to females or something.
But, yeah, is.
But
no, he talked to his wife fine and everything.
Oh, you're talking about Kevin Spacey?
No. He talked to Kevin Spacey's wife fine and everything.
Maybe he don't know how to act around females his own age.
I don't know. Maybe. Because he's just like...
He's super creepy with them.
Yeah, he is just like... Like, not even hiding, just filming
just
them on
filming
camera.
Them all the time to this little recorder. Yeah. He was... I really liked that actor, though. But he... Yeah, he played a good weirdo.
Yeah.
He's
also the spawn of Satan in Ghost Rider.
He is. He is also repeatedly starred in American Horror Story.
Yeah.
And he's really good at American Horror Story. And he's also in Yellowstone. I'm currently watching that. So I'll be honest with you. I turned this movie on and I didn't think I was going to make it through it. I just about turned it off and was just like, and didn't make it through it because it made me feel like a creep. And the first 30 minutes of him crushing on and just thinking about nothing but that underage girl will make you feel like a creep. But if you stick it out and watch the entire movie, I'm not taking that for him in no way, shape, or form for that. But it makes you realize the entire big picture of it. Like, just the...
He just misses his youth.
Right, exactly. And he is... And that's not an excuse for creeping on an underage girl. But it shows that he is so unhappy with his life that he's trying to drastically change it, but he's changing it drastically in the wrong way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
So he's blackmailing people. He went out and bought his dream car with all the money that he had blackmailed off of his boss.
So there's a scene where his boss is firing him and he's like, and he blackmails him.
Yeah. He says, well, I'm pretty sure this company wouldn't want me giving secrets to the competitors now, would they? And he's like, what do you want? And he's like, I want a year's salary. And whatever I want to take out of the office, I think, what wasn't it?
So, yeah,
he's like, yeah, we're not going to do that. He said, well, what if I throw in a sexual assault charge on you? And he's like, all right then.
He gave me your salary. Yeah. And there's a funny scene where they're all sitting at dinner and the wife says, honey, ask your father how his day went. He says, well, I blackmailed my boss and what else did he say? I blackmailed my boss and I got $60,000 for it. Now pass the peas.
Yeah.
It was so funny because he said it so nonchalant and the wife just turned
out. No, they was arguing. Like, he was saying it like to be a smart ass.
But it was so funny the way he said it.
He's like, oh, I blackmailed my boss out of 60 grand and I quit my job and blackmailed my boss out of 60 grand. Pass the peas.
Yeah. And the way he stands up to his wife is just so hilarious because she plays this stupid jazz music every night when they're eating dinner. And like, he just throws the plate into the wall and is like, we're going to take turns listening to the music at the state.
He didn't freak out about that part.
He added that at the end though.
He was trying to talk and she kept interrupting him and he just picked up the plate of food and calmly got up, looked at the wall and just smashed the plate of food into the wall. And he was like, don't interrupt me while I'm talking. And we're going to start taking turns with this music. I think at least two of us here looking at his daughter can agree that this is fucking bullshit.
Kevin Spacey is so good in this role. He's so good.
Kevin Spacey's good at any role he plays.
He really is. I ain't seen a movie of his that I haven't liked. Usual Suspects? No. Oh, my God. So, the love interest that he has, I don't know if you can call her that, the underage girl, she's one of the most annoying characters I've ever watched in a movie. She's so freaking annoying.
That's Oz's love interest in American Pie.
It is. But still.
Yeah, she's
so annoying. Yeah, like, just through this whole show, like, she just puts her two cents in everywhere and it's ho stuff.
Yeah, and then finally the creepy boyfriend is like, you're ordinary. And they've completely broke her down.
Because her big thing is she wants to not be ordinary. Yeah. She wants to be
broke down.
Because he gave her that, it wasn't an insult, but it wasn't like, he's like, yeah, you're ordinary. She was like, well, I ain't ordinary, shut up. Yeah.
Fuck you guys. You're perfect for each other.
This tells a great story about a man just...
Well, he did end up turning her down.
Who?
Kevin Spacey.
Oh, yeah. Thank God. I was really going to freak out if he actually went through with it.
Yeah.
If he actually had sex with his underage girl, I was going to rate this movie a little lower.
Yeah. But no, he come to his senses. And like the last thing that he was thinking about was how much he loved his wife and daughter.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I know. So.
So the creepy boyfriend's dad is also.
Like a Marine.
Yeah, he's a Marine.
General or something.
Something like that. And the creepy boyfriend sells weed to the dad. And.
It's established early on there that he's very, very, very homophobic.
Yeah, the dad's very homophobic. So he starts going through the son's video camera that he constantly is using to film and stuff. He starts going through tapes. Turns out he filmed a session of Kevin Spacey working out naked in the garage. And then he was watching as... He went over to the garage to sell Kevin Spacey some weed, and it kind of looked bad.
Looked like he was giving him a blowjob.
Yeah, it looked like he was giving him a blowjob, but that's not what was happening. He was just rolling.
He was bent over rolling up the weed, but the way the garage was positioned, and Kevin Spacey was sitting back on a couch with his arms crossed, and it looked like he was just...
Yeah,
it looked very... And the dad...
Assumed that he was...
Yeah.
Yeah, so he kicked his son out. And then he catches Kevin Spacey working out in the garage. And it's pouring raining outside.
I don't understand this scene. Continue, though.
But it's pouring raining outside. And, like, mind you, during this scene, Kevin Spacey is, like, fed up with his wife. He doesn't care anything about her. He doesn't... want anything to do with her. He doesn't care. And the Marine dad's like, so where's your wife? And he says, Oh, I don't know. I don't really care. Probably off fucking another realtor.
Because he caught her in bed with another man.
No, he didn't catch him
in bed. Well, not in bed, but you know what I mean. Like,
but he's like, you don't care where your wife is? He's like, yeah, why don't you get in here? It's pouring the rain. Why don't you come in? And he walks up to him, and he tries to kiss Kevin Spacey.
I didn't understand like, that. Why did he try to kiss him?
He's closeted.
That's what I thought. I just, yeah, the dad's yeah, the like dad's, a closet gay.
He's a closeted gay. Whatever you want to call it.
I think it's the correct term. I'm pretty sure it's the correct term, closeted gay.
I really don't care what the correct term is.
I'm trying not to be offensive.
Well, you keep doing that.
Okay.
But, and he's like, Kevin Spacey's like, no, I'm not trying to give you that impression. And he just walks off. And, right when Kevin Spacey is, like, realizing that he's been changing his life in all the wrong ways, and he's sitting there looking at a picture, the Marine dad comes up and just blows his brains out because he doesn't want that secret to get out.
Right. Yeah, like you said, he's a closeted gay. He puts some moves on Kevin Spacey. He turns him down. But it's right after he tries to have sex with his underage girl, and he realizes, I can't be doing this. Like you said, the last thing he's thinking about, he pulls up a picture of his wife and daughter, and he's thinking about them and just smiling. He's thinking about how he's going to fix things.
Yeah.
He's not going to go back to what he was doing, but he is going to fix things and make things better. And he's thinking about it, and then you just see the gun creep up to the back of his head and blow over the wall. It was such a good ending. Like, I understand a lot of people don't like when the main character dies, but when it's told right and it impacts a story, that was great.
Yeah. Kind of sucks that the family doesn't know that he's going to try and make an amends.
Right.
He just died a piece of shit.
Now, the wife was going to kill him.
Yeah, the wife was going to kill him. Well, she could have backed out of it.
Now, the wife was going to kill him 100%. The whole time she's coming home, she's hyping herself up.
I mean, yeah, she is. But at the same time, when she found him dead, she
freaked out.
She bawled her eyes out.
And she hit her gun.
Yeah.
I don't know
if she may have pointed it at him, but I don't think she could have followed through with it.
I think she would have followed through with it. Because she seemed like the type of person who couldn't go without him being under her control.
That is true.
So she's like the whole time
she wouldn't have got away with it.
No. The whole time you don't know who killed him until like the end, because it shows two people coming at him with a gun.
Yeah.
It shows the wife. It doesn't really show the Marine.
It doesn't really. It makes you think it's the wife at first because she's been making a plan to do it.
Right. And she's been going to the firing range, practicing with her gun. He catches her cheating on him. So, like, she knows, like, she's not going to get anything in the divorce.
Yeah, especially since he supported her through college and whatnot.
Exactly. And he's working a fast food job now that he's lost his job, and he catches her in the car with this man.
Well, kissing. He could have got a different job. He took a fast food job because
despite his wife.
That, and he wanted to be a kid again.
Right.
Like he was in high school.
Right. And as they come through the drive through, the wife sees him, or not sees him, but is kissing the other man, and he sees them.
Yeah.
That's funny. It's one of the funny. I think it's really funny.
But you don't get to tell me what to do
ever anymore. Yeah. The side plots it had going. So normally when a movie does side plots, I'm not a big fan of it. I like to focus on one central story, maybe a little bit of filler here and there. This one had multiple different side plots going on, but it was so necessary. It was so important to the story.
Yeah, it was all important to the main plot.
Right. And I love when side plots do that. When all of them tie in at the end, perfect. And this, honestly, American Beauty was probably like one of the most perfect told stories. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like it was. The pacing was great. The storytelling was great. The writing was great. The acting was great. The actors were great. Just, I loved it all. Yeah, it was a solid pick. I really almost did turn this movie off because I didn't want to feel like a creep.
Yeah.
I thought all it was going to be was him crushing on this high schooler for 2 hours.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, solid pick, bro.
Once again.
Shut up. One of these times, you're going to pick a bad movie.
I don't think I will.
All right. So, next week, we are doing a Valentine's Day episode. We are going to be watching all Valentine's Day themed movies. We're going to be watching Hard Eyes. We're going to be watching Love Hurts. We're going to be watching You're Cordially Invited. And we're also going to be watching My Bloody Valentine. Now, the only one out of these I've seen is You're Cordially Invited. I've seen that one already. I've never seen My Bloody Valentine or anything like that. I've just heard it's a classic. I heard that it's a good one. So, and it's going for Valentine's Day. Now, we're going to be watching the remake because it has Jensen Ackles in it.
It's called My Bloody Valentine?
My Bloody Valentine.
It's a horror.
What I've read about it, it's classified as a horror, but I watched a video on it the other day, and it's not technically horror. It's a whodunit killer movie.
Oh. Killer mystery?
Killer mystery, yes. And you're pretty good at those, so I'd like to see if you can guess. We're just going to use the honor system because I know the way of grading in this, but just see if you can guess the killer by the end.
I don't know. Every time we've sat in a movie theater together, how many times have I not predicted the plot?
I think just once.
What was it?
I'm trying to think. I know it was one time, though, you didn't. I can't remember off the top of my head. But I'm pretty sure we talked about it on the podcast, too. But I'm pretty sure every single time you've predicted it except for once.
Oh, yeah. I'll give you. That's like...
Trapped. You didn't predict...
We didn't watch that together.
No, we didn't watch it together. I watched it and you watched it, but you said you couldn't predict the twist. You thought there was a twist, and there wasn't.
Yeah, that was the twist. I told you, M. Night Shyamalan's the only one that gets me.
That's fair.
Because, like, I remember... Have you seen The Village?
Yes.
Okay. So, I remember watching The Village. I'm like, what's it like... I wonder what the twist is. And then it's like, the monsters aren't real.
And it's set in modern time.
It's modern time.
Like, wait a minute. Was that a car? Like, I remember the first time watching that. And then I'm just like, man, this is stupid. Like, yeah. I turned the TV on. I was so mad. He's a hit or miss, isn't he? Like, his movies are either great or they are trash.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I still love The Village.
Oh, The Village is good. I love it. It's a frustrating ending, but I love it. Did you watch Old? Where they're on the beach getting older?
No, I haven't seen that one.
Brother, don't waste your time. One of those pathetic pieces of dog trash I've ever seen in my life. Like, that's bad. But we're doing an M. Night Shyamalan episode.
But back to how they butchered Underworld.
You want to talk about... Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute. Yeah.
God almighty. They killed Michael.
Now, refresh my memory. Michael, that's the hybrid guy.
The
right?
Hybrid.
Yeah. Okay.
That pissed me off more than anything.
Right. He's around for what? How many movies? Two, three, something like that.
Yeah. Okay. So he's in the first one. He's not in the second one. He's not in the prequel. I mean.
Yeah, he's not in the prequel.
He's in the second one.
He's in the first two, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then.
They kill him in the third one, I think.
No, the third one, he's not in it.
I'm not talking about the prequel. I was talking about like the third one chronologically. Like, yeah. Fourth one chronologically.
He's not in it, but they're looking for him. Because turns out they had a daughter or whatever, yep. And she's hybrid. And it's like way in the future, and all the werewolves have mange and or something like that.
Right.
And then in the one after that, she tastes somebody's blood and it's like, you killed Michael.
Yeah, she sees the memory through their blood and it's like, we didn't even get to see his death.
Yeah.
Like, he's an important character for three, four movies and you're just going, dude.
Oh my God.
They butchered that.
Like, why do they kill him? Like, that was so stupid.
Maybe they couldn't get the actor to come back, but...
He was in the fight. He got killed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was in the fight. Shut up. Yeah. Those had such good potential.
Yeah.
Like, vampire and werewolf movies are great, and vampire versus werewolf movies. Like, Underworld used to be the standard.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, oh, let's just fumble these last two movies.
Yeah. No, they ruined it.
Yeah.
All right. Right, we got that off our chest. So we'll see you guys next week.
We need a whole episode on that. We need to go in depth on that.
I don't know if I have it in me to watch all those again.
Okay, we'll wait a minute before we do it. But I'd like to go in depth on those. But Okay. Those are the four movies we'll be covering next week. I'm excited to watch My Bloody Valentine. I've heard nothing but good things about it. My uncle used to have it when I was younger, but like, there's a sex scene right at the beginning, and he'd always turn it off, and I never get to watch it.
No.
Okay. So, and I never picked it back up, so I'm really excited to watch it.
All right.
And Jensen Ackles is great.
All right. We'll see you guys next week. Like, comment, and subscribe.
Later.